News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Center is on the other side of the glass. He's why Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Pocket Podcasts, for example, will have our interview posted on it shortly after we conduct the interview with Tom Butler. Is back on the line. He's a horticulture educator at Penn State Cooperative Extension Agency. He gets co-producer duties for these great interviews that we've been doing once a month or so with the Extension Agency, making sure that various educators and individuals get up there and step up to the microphone. We've learned so much about canning and grocery shopping and, disease control and pruning and soil testing and flowers and mulching. Just extensive, great knowledge we've gotten from him. So, Tom, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning, Mark.
Oh, and I'm a Beekeeper 101 graduate, too, so so we got that under our belt. Tom's the main host of Beekeeping 101. I'm going to call it Penn State's famous beekeeping course that anybody can take online anytime. Let's talk about what's happening in our gardens out there. The pop-up daffodils are there where they're about 3-4 inches tall now. They seem to sense it's getting cold and slow down a little bit. But what's happening there, and what should we do?
So they are popping up out of the ground because we've had some of those warmer temperatures the past couple of weeks. And as you stated, they'll kind of slow down if we get into some of the cooler temperatures. But really, there's nothing we can do. They're just responding to the environment. Hopefully nothing much happens. They are pretty hardy for our area. If we do get some really, really cold weather come in, and I'm talking about freezing for an extended period of time, you may get some of the foliage that will die back, burn, freeze off. But it's not going to kill the plant. You know, those bulbs underneath the ground are just a huge storage capacity, so they'll put up another flush of new growth. Now, you may not have the flowering that you usually expect every spring. So that could be an issue. And for those daffodils and other bulbs that tend to flower much earlier and we get a cold snap come in, it would, of course, kill off those flowers. But again, this is not something to worry about in the sense of losing these bulbs for the long term. It will just temporarily set them back for this year.
Under what circumstances would they cover them up? Let's suppose it's going to go down to X temperature. At what temperature? And put a 5-gallon bucket over some of the ones that are in the front yard, because I need those to survive for the aesthetics.
Yeah, good question, and I don't know the specifics on that. If you have a small enough area, that is doable when you get into those temperatures. For tulips, I would say something down in the teens that you would have to worry about. You can cover it with some cloth, kind of like what you would do for the garden in the fall when you're trying to extend the season, or you plant early in your vegetable garden and you got a frost event coming in. Anything that would be close to the ground and create an air barrier between the ground and the outside atmosphere that gives you a couple of degrees, and that may be enough to get you through that cold spell. But that's what, you know, I look at my area where I have a lot of daffodils and tulips, and it's just too large to cover, and so I'm going to have to kind of let it go for itself. However, if you've got a planting near the walkway and it's small enough, yeah, cover them, and it might give you a little bit of protection. I'm not sure about mulching. I mean, that's just a lot of effort to put down a layer of mulch, but it could work. You're trapping some of the heat on the soil surface underneath that mulch, so that may give you a little bit of protection.
Now, what about mulching in general? I am so tempted to get out there and get a couple of 2-3 scoops and get started.
It's not going to hurt. Really, the optimal time for winter mulching is right before the onset of the winter. Is create, as I stated earlier, almost like an insulating blanket. And if there is bare soil, one of the things you're worried about as you go into winter is that soil that has moisture in it will freeze and then it will thaw. Freeze and it will thaw. Think of potholes. When you've got that going on, it creates cracks in the asphalt and, you know, just causes damage on our cars with these potholes. Same thing in our soil. It starts heating that soil and then it throws plant roots out of the soil. So really the key on winter mulching is right at the onset of winter. Now, mulching at this time, it wouldn't hurt, But you're not really getting any advantage of it other than maybe creating a barrier for future weed seeds that are laying there on the soil. You cover them up, and it just alleviates a spring task for you.
All right. Now, what should we be doing in terms of fruits and vegetables? I see the blue light emanating from some of the basements around us, so I know some of my neighbors have started the growing.
Yeah. When you drive by my house, you can see those lights, too. And for a lot of home gardeners, some home gardeners like to go to the garden centers and buy transplants they can just directly put into the garden. Other gardeners like to start from scratch, basically procuring seed. Either they save it or they go, get the seed packets and putting those seeds in media and starting them, germinating them, and growing their own transplants. So right now is the time to start doing that. It's a good time to start your cold crops, your cool season crops. That would be your broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, kale. I like kale, so I started some kale. Things that you're going to be planting earlier. And then in a couple weeks, you're probably going to want to start your warm season crops, the ones that take a little while to get going. And that would be your peppers, tomatoes. You wouldn't want to start zucchini. Those seeds germinate rapidly and grow. So that's something you want to push off further into April. But yeah, so now's a good time to start that. And it's relatively easy to do. A couple quick tips. You don't want to use just regular potting media because usually the media is kind of bulky. There might be little pieces of wood and things like that. You really want to get some soilless mix that is very fine so that when you put the seed in there, you get good seed to soil contact. And the other thing you want to think about is light. It's really hard to rely on natural light through the window. And you had mentioned that you're driving by your neighbors and you see those blue lights. They are providing light so those plants don't stress after they germinate. And when you use light, make sure the plants are relatively close to the light, because if the light is very high, they'll stretch high to get to that light. So keep the light source close to those little plants that have been emerging. And the other thing I wanted to mention on that is if you're starting from seed, you may want to add some bottom heat. It's not necessary, but it does just speed up the process a little bit.
Now, you mentioned you want good seed-soil contact. Explain what tells the seed to germinate. What you want contact, and you got some light provided here and some moisture. What is it that's making the seed germinate?
It's going to be warmth and water. So, when you look at a seed packet and the seeds are in that packet, it's just dry. It's just sitting in there in the seed packet. Now, when you place it in soil and you add water, that water works its way into that seed coat, and it starts the germination process. And it needs to be some warmth, as I mentioned before. If you take a seed packet out there and put it outside in this kind of weather, nothing's going to germinate, even if you add water. So the combination of warmth and water starts the germination process, and then light is necessary when that germination process starts.
All right, when is a likely time we're going to take some fruits or vegetables outside and put them? Is that a mid-April kind of thing?
Well, it depends on what kind of crop you're looking at. I mentioned warm season crops, and of course that would be things like tomatoes and peppers. You need to look at the calendar and follow the weather. You want to avoid those frost events because that will really harm those transplants. But your cool season crops can be planted in April. Your broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and so forth. They are a little hardier and able to withstand some of those cooler temperatures. Now, you can speed everything up a little bit by using, as you mentioned at the start of this interview, blankets and things like that, where you provide a little bit of an insulation layer above the transplants that you put in your garden, and that gives you several degrees. So you can kind of cheat a little bit, try to get into the garden a little earlier.
All right, make sure you're kind of nurturing these things along. Also, at this time last year, we talked about soil testing. I did that, and we came up with some good information. Do you need to test soil again?
No, soil testing is not something that needs to be done yearly. It's something, maybe get into the habit of doing it every 3 years. It soil chemistry doesn't change that quickly. So if you took a soil test last year and, you had to adjust the pH, and you apply the appropriate lime and so forth, that should be good for a couple years. Then, after 3 years, you might want to think about doing that soil test again and see where you are. But yeah, a yearly thing's not really necessary.
All right, well, fantastic. Anything else to add on these good topics? And your contact information is always good, too.
Well, you know, one thing I did want to add, Mark, is it looks like the spongy moth, which was formerly known as the gypsy moth, is going to be bad this year. DCNR released their latest egg mass survey count. It's going to be rough. You know, when you read some of the stuff they put out, they're going to be spraying for this spongy moth this year. 300,000 acres. That is a record. That's how bad they think it's going to be this year. So, you know, for some of those private landowners, they may want to look at banding together and get someone to help them with this issue. DCNR only sprays state-owned land, but 300,000 acres is a lot.
All right, and we have a spongy moth interview in our archive. We invite folks to listen to that full informational piece at WKOK.com on our podcast page. Tom, thank you so much for all the information and all you're doing. I know you make a lot of appearances, too, so stop in here one day in your travels, and we certainly will talk again.
All right, will do, Mark.
Thank you very much. Tom Butler, horticulture educator at the Penn State Extension, a cooperative extension. He's based out of Clinton County up in Lock Haven. Beekeeping 101 has literally been seen by hundreds of thousands of people around the world. As Penn State's noted, a beekeeping introductory course that many, many people have taken, especially now that we got the pandemic behind us. PennState.psu.edu.